Speaking today with John Breeding, who is the president of the Uptown Management District. And John, I wanted to talk to you because there was a recent article in the River Oaks Examiner having to do with the Uptown Light Rail Line, in which a number of business owners who have properties along Post Oak Boulevard were complaining that they didn't know anything about what was going on, and they didn't like it, and they were going to fight it. So I guess the first question I have is, you know, where's this coming from? What communication has there been with business owners along the route of this line, and who's been doing it?
You know, we've had the opportunity to speak to people about this for, pick a number of years, 10 years, 5 years, and we've tried to keep people informed. I've been the guest in any number of organizations, the Gallery of Chamber of Commerce, things like that, and most of the major property owners are actually on our board of directors. What we found out is that we haven't been terribly effective at communicating to those individual tenants that have the various stores and some of the local shopping centers here. And we're going to reach out and try to do a much better job of letting them know what's going on. But I would say that those leaders of the community are pretty familiar with what's being proposed and what we've done to try to make it work.
So, you know, I the story didn't have specific concerns from these you know, property owners or maybe tenants, for the most part. But I presume that, you know, one of the concerns that people will have will be having to do with the amount of land that Metro will need to take to, you know, to build the line.
That's actually not any of the questions whatsoever. First of all, the property owners, people who own the land, know about this and know the taking. The people that were at this meeting, and I wasn't at the meeting, but what I've been told by those who were there, these were primarily tenants of retailers in the area. People who own that shopping center where that meeting was held is my chairman of the board. He knows explicitly the number of feet and that is going to be taken. And so that's clearly not the area. What I have been told, and by the way, I'll also tell you that the people who organized that meeting didn't invite us. Unfortunately, I didn't even know it was going on. And I would love to have visited with them. Maybe you could have answered some of the questions. But they were very much concerned with what happens during construction, I think. Some of the people who were on the Channel 13 that I saw were people who had restaurants or businesses in the Main Street corridor downtown and were put out of business during the period Metro was building light rail. And I think the point being here is that everybody's learned a lot about how not to do it. And we are here to make sure that it's done correctly.
Okay. So what sorts of things are in the works to alleviate you know, the problems that will arise when construction is going on?
You know, let me even take you back even further than that. The voters approved the plan, Metro Solutions Plan, in 2003. Post Oak Boulevard was explicitly defined in that election. So it's been before the voters, et cetera. And then you decide, well, how are you going to build it? But I think maybe even a better question is it going to be built? I mean, one of the things I heard coming out of the meeting that everyone had was that it was imminent and that Metro was going to be out here constructing it this year. Well, the reality of that is there's, if you were to, you know, if you were to ask me if our forecast was going to be built, I think it's a lot more likely to be 10 years than 10 months. Whether, you know, depending on where you sit on the transit scale, that's either good or bad. But the way we have really, in defining this, in order to protect this area, What we said was that we saw what the Metro had proposed on other streets like Navigation and Richmond and Main Street, and we go, my goodness, we don't want you doing that. We don't want you taking traffic lanes away. We don't want you preempting our traffic signals. And so we went in and basically worked out a design with them whereby we preserve the three lanes of traffic in each direction along Post Oak Boulevard like it is today. We preserve the left-hand turn capacity as it is today. Interesting to note, like at Westheimer, Richmond, San Felipe, where there's double left-hand turns, in the future, if this project moves forward, we'll have double left-hand turn lanes. So that was very important to us. And it was also very important that it makes it easy for people to get in and out of these shopping centers. And so we worked to make sure stations were located and intersections were located where people could turn left and get in and out of shopping centers where they wanted to. And then finally, you know, we worked real hard to give this area an identity. And that's not only the sort of beautiful stainless steel arches and rings and street lights and things like that, but it's also flowers and trees. And I think we have a design which allows us to have a beautiful Post Oak Boulevard post-rail construction. But my biggest, the biggest question I would pose to Metro, or that I would pose to anybody, is that tell me when this is going to happen. I hear more discussion recently about building, extend the Main Street line down Old Main Street to Missouri City than I hear about building Post Oak Boulevard. In our agreement with Metro, in a way to protect ourselves, we said, you know something, we want to be responsible for rebuilding Post Oak Boulevard. We'll build it to our standards. We don't want you to build it to your standards. And so basically, we would be the responsibility for design, funding, and construction of Post Oak Boulevard. Given the downturn in the economy, we don't have the financial resources to rebuild Post Oak Boulevard at this time. And so if Metro can't go forward until we rebuild Post Oak Boulevard, and we can't rebuild Post Oak Boulevard, the project's probably not going forward. So for people to really get pretty exercised about it being imminent is probably wrong. And if you were someone who was wanting to see Lightrail Transit built soon, I think there's more to worry about soon than too soon, if you will.
Well, yeah, I mean, certainly I was expecting it to be sooner than that. My assumption was that, you know, the Uptown line depends to a certain extent on the completion of the University line
down so
Richmond.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that one's kind of last in line.
Yeah.
In terms of Metro, but you know, 10 years sounds like an awful long time.
Well, the period between 5 and 10, you know, might be where the risk of my bet is. But look, quite honestly, I think the next 6 to 18 months, a lot of these decisions are going to get made. I think Metro you have to recognize our property values out here during the 80s when times were very difficult in Houston, fell approximately 10%. Last year, office buildings, the appraised values fell by 7.5%. And we think that they could drop another 15 to 25% this year. And so that increment, which is what we use to build projects with, is just not there. And so are there other ways in which we could rebuild Post Oak Boulevard through a grant or through some other way to move forward? That's a possibility. But even when we say, let's say that we had all the money in the world, we said, let's do it. Metro has probably got a year to 2 years worth of right-of-way to buy so that this street could be built.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, talk about funding. My understanding is that the Uptown line, unlike the other lines, is not dependent in any way on federal funds. So I suppose on the one hand, you don't have to go through the long federal process, but on the other hand, you know, you don't have that money available.
Yeah. You know, free money is cheaper than anything. And look, I think that if the economy rebounds and we begin to see new development in certain places like Boulevard Place and others, we hope will, you know, get a rebirth here. In a 3 to 5 year time frame, would it be possible that we'd have the money to actually rebuild Post Oak Boulevard? Yeah, that's possible. But if you'll just look at university, I haven't heard Metro's forecast, but they haven't started buying right away on university.
They're still waiting on the FEIS.
So this probably, I mean, its operation opening date, I don't think could be any closer than 5 years.
Okay.
And if this happened afterwards, in the 5 to 10 year period, that's possible. It could be even longer.
Okay. There have been some diagrams that I've seen about the Uptown line, and there was, in fact, a story in the River Oaks Examiner a few weeks back that talked about there are going to be like 23 traffic lights. That sure sounds like an awful lot.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Well, you know, I don't know if I can explain that little discussion over the radio. It's just not one. It's sort of difficult. But let me see if I can do that. Today, there are 9 signalized intersections in Uptown.
And this is between Richmond?
Between Richmond on the south, all the way north of Post Oak Boulevard to the west.
Where it hits Blue.
Where it hits Blue. So there's 9 today. We, as the improvement district here, and the TERS working together, want to add an additional 6 signalized intersections along the boulevard. Let me give you an idea of that. The distance between San Felipe and West Homer is about 3,400 feet, and there's one signal in between. So at best, you know, it's 1,700 feet block length. And that makes it very difficult to get in as we continue to develop. It makes it very difficult to get in and out of shopping centers, very unsafe. There are no places to cross as a pedestrian. So what we're going to do is go back in and put in signals where they sort of naturally want to be. And I can talk about those a little bit. But in the end, what happens is we get a sort of rhythm of about every 700 feet, 750 feet, having a signalized intersection. That's about like every 3 blocks in downtown Houston. So what we're going from is a rural road developed in the, you know, in the 50s, where you had only signals at San Felipe and Post Oak and West Tyler and Post Oak, to where we're in an urban center that needs these signals to create opportunities for turns and safety and pedestrians.
And these signals, these six additional signals you're talking about, that would have happened regardless.
Yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah. So now we're at 15. Now the interesting thing is that when you build the transit system and you have a 150 foot long station, they are going to be located where these signals already are. I mean, for example, Boulevard Place, we're going to build a traffic signal. Well, there's going to be a Boulevard Place station. And so you will need to put a signal at each end of that station so that pedestrians can walk across. And I think the 23 number, if you go and count, I could almost get their number, that if we have 15 intersections, we have 9 today, we add 6 more on our own, that will be 15. And then you put the stations down, and then you put a signal at the other end, if you will, of the station. That's how you get to 23. But it's basically the same 15 locations. The signalized intersections have just become a little bit elongated because of the station.
I had to use my hands to explain
sure
it to
understand.
You, and the people are going to miss that on the recording. But anyway, that's a good
all right.
Deal.
Well, I mean, obviously, one of the reasons you're doing this, as you alluded to, and you know, as I look around in this room and see pictures, we're going to try and get some pictures to post or link to go with this. But obviously, this is geared at least somewhat in mind for pedestrian traffic. To help people across the street,
right,
where they could presumably park one place and then get other places uptown without having to get back in their car. When you talk about rebuilding Post Oak Boulevard to your standards, is that going to take into account things like having wider sidewalks?
Absolutely. It's interesting. We have are in the midst of an $18 million pedestrian improvement program for every street in the uptown area except Post Oak Boulevard, strangely enough. we're holding off on Post-Oak until hopefully resolutions about when rail comes, et cetera. But all the other streets, San Felipe, McHugh, Westheimer, Richmond, Hidalgo, all of those, we're going back in and building 6-foot sidewalks, which is what the transit-oriented development ordinance requires. We're building 6-foot sidewalks. We're putting in pedestrian lighting, and we're putting in trees. It is our objective is to provide a way which you can go to, with your choice, go to any destination in Uptown walking and walking conveniently. We want to make it big enough so that you and I can walk along side by side and carry on a conversation. You know, sidewalks out here, much they are 4-foot wide, and I walk behind you if we walk together. We'll have street trees, and we're planting a lot of those, and then we're doing a whole new thing, pedestrian lighting throughout the Uptown area. We will be installing something on the order of like 1,000 of these pedestrian lights every 60 feet, so that you can feel comfortable and safe getting around in the evening. So when you say up to our standards, our standard is even on some of the side streets to do significant pedestrian improvements. On Post-Oak Boulevard, we'll probably, as currently configured, it's 12 feet from bike curb to property line. And we'll probably, with tree grates and such, almost have a 12-foot sidewalk with the trees and everything built into it. But a good probably 8-foot clear continuously up and down Post-Oak Boulevard.
Okay. One of the other things about this is that you have a plan for what looks like Uptown area.
Yes.
But the Uptown line itself is supposed to continue north,
right,
to, I guess, the Northwest Transit Center.
Right.
Do you have any input in that, or is that going to, I mean, is it going to be like, okay, Metro, we got it this far, and the rest is up to you?
A big decision maker is obviously TxDOT, because it's their right of way. Years ago, we sit down, literally in this room with TxDOT, representative from Metro was here, people from Memorial Park and Arboretum, and other people sitting down, and it was about the time the West Loop was being reconstructed, and we said, you know, how do you want to leave room for transit in the future? And the decision was made at that time that Metro supported would be that the transit would be elevated in the middle of the West Loop. When TxDOT rebuilt the West Loop, the actual Post-Oak Boulevard overpass was actually designed to open up and allow a train come from at grade up into the middle of the freeway, then elevated, and then the freeway would close back up. Now Metro comes back to TxDOT and says, well, we don't think we can afford the elevated. We want to put it at grade. And to put it at grade, it causes TxDOT to have lessened standards for the width of their lanes and the inside shoulders and things like that. We continue to be involved with both Metro and TxDOT to try to work out a resolution of that. And we are in the midst of that. And I don't know what the conclusion is going to be. But we are actively involved in trying to find a solution that both parties can live with. And then there are issues even down at West Park on the south end, West Park and basically Post Oak Boulevard. We want to make sure that the train, we have very limited access here. We want to be very careful about trains turning across all the moving lanes of traffic and things like that. We're working with the city of Bel Air and with property owners and with Metro trying to make sure that the Uptown Transit Center or the Bel Air Transit Center, which is at West Park and the West Loop, is designed very efficiently. There are many things. This design has been evolving over the years and will continue to evolve it and try to refine it and make it work better for everyone involved. And it's one of the, I go back to sort of the point about some people fear that this is going to happen in the next year. We probably even if everybody wanted to, you couldn't buy the right of way, couldn't finalize the designs in that time frame, just because of big questions still yet to be answered that I believe can be answered, but haven't been answered yet.
It may be premature to talk about this, since, as you say, there's still a lot of design issues, including the continuation past past the loop and all. But what is your vision for what kind of ridership this thing would have? Obviously this would tie in to the university line at one end, and even though there's not currently a design for it, but the same 2003 referendum included approval for an inner Katy line, which conceivably could tie into this at the north end.
Yeah.
I don't know that you might have any numbers, but what would you like to see in terms of ridership? Do you envision this basically as a glorified trolley for people who drive here and park, or do you think people will, get here by a transit and otherwise?
This is another one of these points where it's going to be almost impossible not to use my hands to explain what I think the system is. Let me just say this. I think the home-to-work trip is always the backbone of any transit system. I think transit experts will tell you that. And so it is very important to me that we reach out to where the people who work in this area, where they live. We've done a lot of zip code surveys. We know where you work. Tell us where you live. And if I showed you that graph, it would show a great deal, many people to the west of here. Up 290, out I-10, out West Park, and out the Southwest Freeway. Those are the dominant, if you will, the dark colors on the map where the highest densities of people who work in this area, where they live. There are over 50 miles of busway that extend west of Uptown. But none of those busways offer service to Uptown today. And so, therefore, those transit centers, like the one at I-10 and 610, which brings together the Katy Freeway buses and the US 290 buses. And then if you'll think about it, down on the south end, where we could put another transit center near West Park and the West Loop, where the Southwest Freeway and where West Park would feed into. And then if the buses could stop for a moment, people could get off and then transfer to something that would bring them into Uptown, I think that's the most important thing that could happen. And then, basically, between these two transit centers running north and south, a service would be provided. And that's really where the core of the people who work in Uptown, they live. They live out west, northwest, and southwest. So it's these busways, and we must interact with them. It is more important how we interact, honestly, with those busways than how we interact with the university line, which... if I showed you the map that shows where people live that work here, there are a few, but the predominant values are really out in the suburban areas, which is typical of Houston travel patterns. And so it is that interaction with regional HOV busway system, then distribution and collection of those people within Uptown, up and down Post Oak Boulevard, and then secondly, I think that, for me to be able to step out and take the train down to the Galleria for a lunch meeting or something, a resident, which we have a significant number of people who live immediately in this area, who might take it to their office or might take it to dinner. But I would say that we start, one, trying to serve that regional home-to-work commuter trip. That's terribly important. And then whatever we can catch as internal circulation will be just, pure profit. But I think we'll have a significant amount of that as well. I think we'll have a lot more ridership in reality than what the models project, because I don't think the models really project or have a very good idea about how people might travel at noon or might travel...
or might change their behavior,
right.
or even consider moving in. So let's kind of get back to where we started on this interview. What would you say right now to those business owners who were at that meeting that we talked about, and what is the plan to
communicate with them going forward?
Well, I think the most important thing is we want to work with the property owners. We want to meet with the people who are tenants in these shopping centers. But we want to go through the property owner. I think it's probably not very healthy for us to get between the property owner and the tenant. And I think the property owner is the one who can speak most clearly to the tenants about, the property owner has a financial investment in that tenant, that the more he's successful, the tenant's successful, the more the property owner. So who better to say to them that, one, Metro has a plan to come here and the voters approve it. Two, if Metro comes or when Metro comes, we have taken the leadership role to define to them how it can be designed, built, and operated in order to protect and preserve what we have out here today. And I think some of them might say, and we don't know when Metro's coming. You wouldn't believe the energy that has been invested to try to make it sooner and how ineffective that energy has been. And so I think what that does, I hope what it does, is that it tells those people who are tenants of this area, who have businesses in this area, that first of all, we're working together. We have your back, if you will. And if you want to know some of the details about what we're doing, I'll be, you know, they can then send me in, and we'll go over drawings inch by inch and foot by foot and talk about what could happen. But I think it's sharing information. I think there might have been some misinformation provided at these meetings from what I've heard. I didn't hear it, but I think there, anybody suggesting that Metro is going to start this coming year, they're providing misinformation. And I think that was one of the stories that was told.
All right. John Breeding, thank you very much for talking to me today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.